The Life of Mary Southern, the dramatic, unusual story of a young widow alone in a strange city, and yet not alone. And now, The Life of Mary Southern. To every woman, there is one man, or perhaps we should say one type of man who, temperamentally, is completely sympathetic to her. One man whom she loves for his faults as well as for his virtues. Such a man was Mary's husband, Max Sanders. When he died more than 2 weeks ago, life lost all meaning for Mary. Only the voice of Max echoing in her ears was real. On Christmas Eve, in response to Max's voice, urging her to follow, she left her home and traveled to the small city of Craig's Falls. Here, wandering at the riverfront, she was listening to Max's voice, unaware of the cold wind and driving snow, until a young man named David befriended her, taking her home with him to his boarding house, where the landlady, Mrs. McPherson, gave her a room for the night. It is the next morning. David, the young man who Mary instinctively trusted, has left the rooming house where Mary is still sleeping and is entering the neighboring settlement house run by his childhood friend, Father Tim Brady. The young parish priest welcomes him.
David, I'm glad to see you. Come in.
Hello, Father. Are you busy? I'd like to talk to you.
Well, come in and close the door. Now, what's bothering you, David?
Well, Father, last night I let myself in for something.
Mm-hmm.
I met a woman wandering around the riverfront in a sort of a daze. She was covered with snow and shivering.
Yes.
I still don't know why I spoke to her. You know how I feel about women. I've been giving them a wide berth ever since Margaret let me down.
Yes, I know, David. Go on.
Well, there she was, shivering and not seeming to know that she was cold. She looked up at me the way a lost puppy looks when you pat it. And the next thing I knew, I was buying her a cup of coffee and then...
Yes?
Well, then, after we'd had the coffee, she admitted she had only 50 cents and no place to go. So I offered her my room for the night.
And did she accept, David? Did she go home with you?
Yes. Yes, she's there now. Still asleep, I guess. She was so exhausted, she nearly collapsed when she got there. And Mrs. McPherson was swell. She gave me another room and loaned Mary some warm night clothes.
So her name is Mary?
Yes, so she says. And I think she has a husband named Max. That's all she'd tell me.
A husband?
Yes.
What sort of woman is she, David? You think she's hiding from someone? From the police, perhaps?
Well, no, I don't, Father. But if I'm any judge of character, I'd say she's a woman of good background and education. Well, anyway, what I mean is, there's nothing furtive about her.
I see.
And yet there's something wrong. She looks dazed, groggy, punch drunk, as if she'd been hard hit or is looking for something she can't find.
Is she pretty, David?
But, well, I don't know. Honestly, I couldn't tell you what she looks like. I just know it was something about her voice that got me, that made me want to help her. Well, I guess I'm not explained very well.
Go on, David. I'm very much interested.
Well, listen, you know the feeling you get sometimes when you're in a strange town, and suddenly when you're crossing the street, you feel that you've crossed that same street before. You've never been there, but it's all very familiar to you.
Yes, I guess we've all had that experience.
Well, that's the way it was about Mary. I felt I'd known her before, or in some other phase of my life. And the strangest part of it is that she said she felt the same way about me.
You're not trying to tell me it was love at first sight?
No, no, it's not that at all. But from the minute I spoke to her, I had the strangest feeling. A feeling that someone had asked me to take care of her, and that she was my responsibility.
Well, this interests me more than you know, David. You've been one of my responsibilities for a long while.
Well, listen, Father, I told you years ago when we were kids to stop worrying about me. I was a hopeless proposition even then.
Far from it, David. You've been drifting for years because you've never found the rudder that will steer your life in a direct course.
Why not come out of it and say I've just fumbled through life? I've never gotten anywhere.
Only because you've never wanted to, David. You've lacked an incentive. That's why I'm interested in what you've told me about this young woman. And your feeling that she is your responsibility. What are you planning to do about her now that you've shoved her for the night?
Well, I thought maybe if I brought her here to talk to you, you could help me figure things out and help her at the same time.
I'll be glad to talk to her, David, if she wants to come.
Good.
I'm wondering, woman of the type you describe, wandering alone at the waterfront.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Father, but she swore that she hadn't gone there with the idea of suicide. And I believe her.
And then there's another possibility, of course. Amnesia.
Say, I haven't thought of that. She told me she couldn't remember where she came from, but I thought she didn't want to tell me.
If she is suffering from loss of memory, her relatives and friends must be seriously worried about her.
Yes.
The police should be notified.
Oh, but can't we wait a little longer until she's had a good rest before we decide?
Before you decide, David. I'd like very much to meet her and to help her if I can. I'll be free this afternoon if you want to bring her in. But you've just told me you feel that she's your responsibility. And if there are any decisions to be made, I want you to make them.
Well, David, so you finally come home.
Hello, Mrs. McPherson.
I've wasted the best part of an hour here at my door watching for you.
Oh, I went over to the settlement house to talk to Father Brady. How's Mary?
I don't know. I think she's delirious. Right after you went out this morning, I looked in to see if she was awake.
Yeah?
Her eyes were wide open, but she didn't know I was there. She was talking to herself. And it sounded like she was talking to somebody named Max.
Max? Yep. She was talking about him last night.
And all of a sudden she saw me and she said, good morning, and talked just as natural as you and I are talking now.
Well, say, I'd better talk to her. And do you think she's gone to sleep again?
No, most likely she's still lying there, staring at the ceiling or talking to herself.
Well, I'll see you, Mrs. Fitton. Mary?
Max, is that you?
No, Mary, it's David.
David?
Yes.
David. But Max, I thought you were talking to me.
Good morning, Mary. Don't you remember me? I bought you a cup of coffee last night. Brought you in out of the snow.
Oh, of course. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
It is a good morning, isn't it?
Yes.
The sun shining in through the window and I feel so happy.
Happy? Well, say, I'm glad to hear that. You sure you didn't catch cold last night in that wet snow?
Oh, no, of course not. Why, David, your cheeks are so clear and rosy as if you'd been walking in the cold. Have you been out this morning?
Yes, yes. I went over to the settlement house to have a talk with my best friend, Father Brady.
Oh.
He and I went to school together when we were boys. I'd like you to meet him, Mary.
Why, I'd like to, if I don't go away today.
Go away? Where?
I don't know, but Max will tell me.
Max will tell me.
David, let me look at you.
Well, there you go again, staring at me in that strange, intent way. You embarrass me. I've got the sort of face most people wouldn't even look at twice.
Oh, no, David. You're very handsome. You have a fine, sensitive face, only... I don't know what it is about you. I know I've never seen you, and yet you remind me of someone.
Your husband?
No. No, you're not like Max. You don't look like him at all, and you don't talk like him. And yet you do.
Mary, Max is your husband's name, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Forgive my asking, but he's not dead, is he?
No. No, don't say that. Max isn't dead. No one understands. He's with me, just as he promised. But no one will believe me.
Mary, who's no one? You mean your friends? Who are they and where are they?
I don't know. I can't seem to remember, David. Really, I can't. It's so confusing. But Max is with me. He's here now, very close to me. You believe that, don't you, David?
Yes, Mary. Yes, I do. I know what you mean. I believe you. Now, I think it's time you had some breakfast, young lady. I'll go tell Mrs. McPherson you're awake and ready for some of her bacon and eggs.
I think I am hungry, David. Tell her I'll be dressed and downstairs in just a few minutes.
All right. Well, that's it. Your husband's dead and she won't believe it. And Father Brady is right as usual. She's lost her memory, too. I wonder how a man feels knowing a woman loves him the way she must have loved this Max. I wonder.
So David, a stranger to Mary till yesterday, finds the important clue to her past, and he understands, too, an essential part of her nature. The deep and enduring quality of her love.